Welcome to Band of Gamers Podcast, episode number 14. My name is Greylock3491, and this week I'm joined by all my friends, all my podcast friends, starting with DBQ Hams.
Hey again, everybody.
Followed by Osiris Prime.
Hello, everyone. Good to be back.
And last but not least, Zeus Adamus.
What's up? This is like the reunion episode, right? Is this the first time all four of us have been on the podcast in a long time?
In a long time, and I appreciate guys all getting back together. I know so many challenges in the summer, so many things, trips, business and personal, vacations, colds, working late, just, it's been probably 3 weeks since we got together. And so we're not going to run through our entire, what we've played over the last 3 weeks list, because we'd probably put all our listeners to sleep. But let's go through a couple of the highlights. So DBQ, I'll kick it over to you first. Give us some highlights of what you've been playing lately.
So I spent a lot of time on the road and in airports and hotels, still trying to find a good reason why I own a new 3DS, besides the fact that it looks really nice in 3D, although it's still, I end up turning off the 3D eventually because it still is wobbly to some degree. But that being said, I've put in about another 12 hours into Fire Emblem Awakening. It's a great strategy game. Cool story, or the dynamics that play out between different characters, or you can build relationships. I picked it up and I played it about 2 years ago. I put in about 33 hours, never really finished it, and picked it back up, started a new game this summer here, and just trying different character combinations and playing with that, and so that has been a go-to piece. Again, it's just like a big chessboard finding there. I've also been picking up some stuff on my Vita, and playing around with a lot of the PS Plus games that have come out lately, Race the Sun, Kickin' Fennec, Whoa Dave, which is really kind of a retro Atari type of, almost like a Mario Brothers, where you're picking up eggs and throwing them at other stuff, like the original Mario Brothers in the sewers popping turtles and things. And then Counter Spy, which I'm really kind of getting into and loving the aesthetic of that kind of 60s spy aspect, and the stealth aspects there. Again, a lot of these are available on multiple platforms, you know, that they're on any type of PlayStation platform, and many of them are coming out on PC, on Steam as well. And so, you know, maybe a fall or winter Steam sale if they pick some things up. But they've been pretty fun. Kickin' Fennec is a cute little 3D platformer with some different physics. Race the Sun feels very much like it could be on a mobile platform, and working on anybody's phone or tablet, but again, kind of neat. It kind of scratching my Star Fox itch in terms of zooming in a space-like way. So that's been pretty good. I've also been coming back to Battlefield Hardlines a little bit with some friends online, some CAG gamers from the community. And I think this is the first time I can say that I was playing a map on Hotwire and riding along with somebody, and I thought to myself, they don't know where they're going. Why is he going this way? This is totally not the right way to go. And I've never been a big first-person multiplayer online competitive stuff, and I finally realized what everybody else must feel like when they play with me. Like, what the hell is he doing? Why is he doing that? So there's that, and then I'm slowly starting to trickle away from Heroes of the Storm, the Blizzard MOBA. Again, it's fun to come back to here and there, but it certainly, after hooking me for a month and a half, I think I'm kind of wringing out much of what I wanted out of that. So that's been keeping me busy. It's been a while, so who else here? Prime, what have you been playing?
So I've actually got kind of a big list here, but I'm going to just fly through it really quick. And actually, this is all from this past week. Dipping my toes back into PC gaming a little bit. I got a new PC. My old one kind of crapped out on me. So I had a couple Steam games, the original Black Ops and Red Faction Guerrilla, that I downloaded and kind of played a little bit of it, probably like a half hour each. And then DC Universe Online, I loaded back on there. I kind of played that on the old machine, but it was kind of chugged a little on my old machine. So hopefully with this new one, I can jump back in there and, you know, kind of get going. And then I bought three games last week for the Ultimate Xbox sale. I bought WWE 2K15, which is last year's, or this year's, I guess, that came out last year. WWE game. Goat Simulator, which is kind of a just dumb, silly game, but it is pretty fun. And Saints Row 4, which comes with Reelected, and then Get Out of Hell, which I think Get Out of Hell just came out either the beginning of this year or the end of last year, I believe. I didn't play anything of Saints Row 4 yet, but I did play WWE and Goat Simulator, which I've been having some fun at. And then COD, Advanced Warfare, Call of Duty Advanced Warfare, which I think I prestige like the fourth time now in that game. So when you prestige, you can basically clear out your guns, so they revert back to, you know, the first level, and you gotta re-get all your attachments and all that. So and kind of when you do that, you pretty much get massacred until you level back up. So I've been kind of playing that, but I think I'm gonna put that down for a little bit. Maybe I'll pick it back up like right before the new one hits, Black Ops 3, I believe, this fall. And then I play a little bit of Grand Theft Auto 5. I kind of jumped back in there. They had a couple downloads recently that I just wanted to kind of download and just kind of fool around. I didn't do any story or anything. Just kind of fooled around in the world. And then Strider for my backlog game that I'm still playing, which seems to be taking forever for some reason. I didn't think it was that long, but I think I got like 6 or 7 hours in that game now. And I've been streaming that on Twitch, but for some reason this last one I did last weekend, even though I like started the stream and I played for like, I don't know, about 40, 45 minutes, and stopped the stream, you know, stopped the broadcast once I was done, after I exported it, or I was trying to export it to YouTube, I noticed it only lasted like a few minutes, then it was finished. I was like, wow, that's weird. Usually it takes like an hour or so. But I noticed when I went back on Twitch, it actually only recorded like 5 seconds for some reason. So, I don't know, something must have happened there. And then the last game I've been playing is Minecraft, which I've been actually been playing quite a bit of the last few weeks. Just kind of by myself, but also had my son that I've been playing with lately. Actually, just this past weekend, we actually played together for the first time. It's been a while, actually that was the first time. He's been playing for about, I don't know, about 3 or 4 months, kind of off and on. But just until like recently, he's been really getting into it. He's kind of, you know, that's all he talks about. And, you know, when he's talking with my wife and she's like, I don't know what you're talking about. She kind of doesn't get it. She's watched me play, but she doesn't really understand what it is. But, you know, we've been having fun. And he's only like 4 years old. He'll be 5 this year. But this, like I said, this is the first time we start playing together. And, you know, he's picking up pretty quick. So it's pretty cool. We're playing on the Xbox One. And he's tried it on the tablet and on the PC, but he seems to be able to handle it a little bit better on the One, so with the controller, which I thought was kind of interesting. So that's it. That's all I've been playing. How about you, Zeus?
So on the Xbox One, I've been playing Batman Arkham Knight. I haven't gotten that much into it, maybe the first couple of hours before I had to take off for a spot of vacation, but you know, what I've seen going on in some various places is that, you know, people aren't too happy with the game. I guess there's a lot of angst over the amount of time that you have to spend in the Batmobile. I didn't play the first 3 Arkham games all the way through, so, you know, Arkham Knight, for me, it's not a split from something that I was familiar and comfortable with, right? It's not an entirely new experience, but it's fresh enough that the time in the Batmobile doesn't bother me. And as Gray knows, because we've spent a lot of time on various tracks together in various racing games on CAG, you know, I'm a vehicle guy, so you know, playing a Batman game where I have to spend a lot of time strapped into the seat of the Batmobile, like I said, isn't that bad a thing. And the main thing for me is I find the game less repetitive than Arkham Origins, which was the game that preceded this one. Other than that, I've been playing a lot of games on Android. So I got a new Android phone a couple weeks ago, the Asus Zenfone 2. I should say a couple months ago. And the big thing about that phone is that it has 64 gigs of storage. And 4 gigs of RAM. So it just has tons of storage to put games in and tons of memory, you know, to juggle all the complex rendering and processing logic in games. So I've been playing Terminator Genesis Revolution on that. I went and saw the movie a couple weeks ago and then played the game, which is kind of this new genre of game that's coming out on, or is becoming popular on mobile. I call it the third-person cover shooter, which is basically a game that just uses kind of the cover mechanic like in Gears of War, but you're pretty much on rails as you go from cover to cover. You're not really choosing where to run on the battlefield. And what you manage primarily is your weapons and ammo and timing from when you're going to pop behind cover and engage an enemy. Terminator Genesis kind of mixes that formula up a little bit by progressively destroying the cover when you're behind it. So at no point do you ever run to cover that renders you invulnerable for an unlimited amount of time. The machines just kind of chip away at the cover, so you know you have to engage the enemies and take them down before they destroy your cover completely. And then the other Android platform I've been playing on is the NVIDIA Shield Pro Android TV. So that I also got maybe 2 or 3 months ago, and I got the 500 gig version. I think I talked about it on one of the previous versions of the podcast, but I've been playing Red Bull Air Racing on that and Overkill 3, which is another kind of third-person cover shooter. Two really fun games, and that I know lots of people both won't agree and will probably hate me for it, but between the Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and the NVIDIA Shield Pro, the Shield Pro is currently my favorite console that I've got right now. And Gray, what have you been gaming on?
Well, I appreciate that, Zeus. I know, DB, you had something you wanted to follow up with Zeus on Batman, right? Let's do that first.
Yeah, I did have a little bit more of a question on Batman, but I also want to go back to the Shield, Zeus. So, you know, so Batman is like the one major AAA release that's coming out this summer. You know, I'm curious on if the combat feels any different. Does it feel, you know, it's back to Rocksteady, you know, the Batmobile stuff. It sounds interesting. I like the idea of it to mix it up, like you're saying. Does it still feel like it's that same type of rhythm combat, and basically you're just kind of free flowing? And so I played some of Shadow of Mordor, which kind of has a similar type of combat, kind of a mix of Assassin's Creed and Batman, and so I'm curious if Rocksteady's done anything to kind of tweak it after Arkham City.
So let me ask you, DB, what developer did the last game, the Arkham Origins game?
They were Warner Brothers Montreal. It was a side studio. And I don't know if they're still around or if they... I think they're working on maybe some DLC maps for this, but Origins wasn't Rocksteady. Rocksteady took time to work on this one.
Okay, yeah, and that definitely explains the different feel. So for me, just to kind of preamble my answer to your question, you know, I have played a chunk of Origins, and I definitely didn't like the feel of that game. The combat felt really repetitive and just kind of just not very visceral. Like it just felt like a very ethereal kind of interaction with the game, kind of light and airy. You know, this, you know, Arkham Knight, you know, I feel like there's weight back in the punches and in the physical combat. You know, I feel like when Batman either gets hit or lands a punch, that you get a better sense of the kinetic force behind it, and it just feels a lot more solid than Arkham Origins did.
That's a great way to describe it. Yeah, that's really a great way to describe it. I'm sitting here shaking my head and going, yeah. I mean, I loved Arkham Asylum as one of my favorite games of last gen, and you really did, I mean, there was a weight, you're right, there's a weight behind those impacts. You know, you felt like you were kind of, you know, you could feel a gut punch and you turn and you could get an elbow and you duck. You know, there was a really nice rhythm, but a weight, like you say. That's great. So before we toss it back over to Gray, so with the Shield as being your favorite system of the moment, do you feel that it's that way because of it's giving you a new way to interact with some of those mobile games by having a controller, or is it the sheer diversity of gaming experiences that you have? versus kind of a thin trickle of games on Xbox and PlayStation? What's pulling you back to it, Zeus?
So the answer to that is all over the place. And if I go too long, anybody can left control in and tell me to shut up so we can move on. But I talk a lot in systems and specifically in video game systems, but with technology in general about this concept of the friction of interaction, or a need to overcome. To overcome the friction of entry. And what I mean by that is, what are the impediments to me sitting down, lighting a system off, and getting started with the first task that I have set in my plan, right, for the evening? A big part of it is this, and I apologize because I think I've mentioned this before as well, but it is this lack of transparency in installs on both the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4. This business of I buy a digital game or install a game from disk. I think I feel this more when it's the digital, and I get a message back that tells me that the install is complete, right? I also see pretty much as soon as I start the game install. That that an update is being downloaded in the background, right? And frequently also get the message that the update is installed. However, the first time that I go to start the game, I get more installation activities that need to go on, right? The update patch didn't actually install, or the install from the disk or the digital download didn't actually complete. So, frequently on the Xbox One and PS4, I've gone to play a game for the first time in a scheduled session in multiplayer, and I wind up kind of having to dork around with really completing the install for 15 minutes, sometimes as much as an hour, before I'm really done and ready to play.
So, yeah, it's almost like it's this generation of, what, the late 90s, early 2000s PC gaming, where you spend so much time tweaking your systems and getting video and driver settings right before you can jump in. No, I agree with you. I mean, I've spent the summer trying to play around with a couple different games, one of them being Elder Scrolls Online, and I eventually, the time between launching the system and sitting down to play was, I could have played 20 minutes of some other game in between time. So Zeus, that makes sense. I can see that. That's really good in terms of that. So what about the games? Or if not, we can keep on going with some other games.
How about Gray? I think you still had to go through your games.
Oh, yeah. So I'm going to go ahead and jump in. So what did I play? Well, I was playing some Destiny. And, I was really enjoying the House of Wolves and the Prison of Elders. And then it dawned on me that, you have to jump through a lot of hoops to get to that chest at the end of Prison of Elders. So just beating the five levels, that's not enough. If you want a key to open up that big chest and get something good, then you have to go out and do all these bounties. And the bounties you have to do are go to some place and fight through a wave of, actually not one wave, but multiple waves of baddies, of really hard baddies. And then when you do that, and you go to kill the last boss in that wave, you get there's nothing on the screen that tells you this, at least that I saw, but you have a very limited time to kill this really hard baddie. So here I am strutting around as a level 32 and a half. I'm spending all this time waiting around for this baddies, these packs of wolves to show up. They finally do show up. And then I start taking them out, and they're super hard, and I don't know why, because I'm a 32 and a half. And then but I get down to the final boss, and I've wasted a ton of rockets on him, and got him almost dead, and he just disappears, because I didn't finish in some imaginary timer. And then if I do kill him, and I don't run around to find the box that's hidden somewhere randomly, I don't get a key. And I might not even get a key. I may not even get a key if I open the box anyways. And at that point, I'm just like, pretty sour on the whole thing. And I'm like, I'm taking a break from Destiny. This should have been a home run. Prison of Elders should have been a home run. I should have done the 5 levels, and if I survived, I should have been able to go downstairs, open the big chest, and get a reward. At least once a week. But instead, it turned into this something I really don't have. I am not one for I don't want to be cannon fodder, and I don't want to be, I don't want it to feel like work. I don't want, when I'm playing a game, it's supposed to be fun and enjoyable. It's okay to be challenging. But if it's work, if I'm wasting 20 minutes waiting for some random event to show up or some pack of, well, you know, I put Destiny down. I did pick up a game that Zeus recommended, Field Runners. I actually got Field Runners 1 and 2 in a pack, like a combo pack, and saved like $1.50. But I had some iTunes money for my Father's Day, so I picked up Field Runners, and I'm playing that. And that's a lot of fun, and the farther you get, the harder it gets. But that's okay. So I'm enjoying that. I kind of think they messed up a little bit, because whenever you finish, it's like this monumental thing when you get through all 100 levels, right? And when you do that, like, there's no way to take a picture of the screen, or, you know, it just goes, or even reflect on what you just did, right? So as soon as you finish, it pops up this thing for you to put your name in, and then when you put your name in and hit enter, it goes away. And it's like, but I just survived 100 levels. And I can't even look at the board for a second. So, but it is a fun game. Once I get through so many levels in version 1, I'll try version 2. But just thought it was funny in this day and age where you like to share stuff and, you know, share your stats and share your screenshots and share your videos with all kinds of friends and social media, that the guys who made Field Runners say, like, oh, you made it to 100. Now you can't see the screen anymore. It's like, what? But so that's what I've been playing mostly. Hey Zeus, go ahead.
Yeah, hey Gray, if I can just jump in for a sec. I haven't had a chance to experiment with these a lot, but I know that there are apps starting to appear in the App Store and in the Google Play Store that allow you to do like screen captures, both video and stills. You know, because there's this movement to try and get mobile game streaming and to capture, you know, video of mobile games and stuff. In Android, there's an app called Camcorder. I wouldn't, with a K, I wouldn't be surprised if there's one for iOS also.
Yeah, there probably is. I just think, you know, that kind of thing should be built into the game, right? So, and I don't know why I think that should
be.
Yeah,
I agree.
But I don't know. I just kind of think it does. So I don't even know. I mean, the other game I played a lot was Plants vs. Zombies. I never kind of felt like I was, I don't know, I don't know, I never felt like I was rushed out of the match, but maybe you were. But no, thank you for the recommendation. It's a fun game, and truly enjoying it. It's a great way to pass the time when my wife's reading, or, you know, I'm just in between tasks and I want to take a break. But, you know, going back to the conversation you guys had, I wanted to chime in on that too. I totally hear you when you talk about the frustration where you just want to sit down and do something. So, like my gaming laptop, I turn it on and 10 seconds later, because it has an SSD, it's loaded and I can go do stuff. I have a netbook where I turn it on and it's a minute or two because it doesn't have an SSD and it has less memory. And it's like it's a noticeable difference. You know, even on my iPad, I went to start up Amazon Prime tonight to watch an instant movie. And it was taking so long, I just put my iPad down, I picked up my laptop and watched a movie on my laptop. So, you know, we're all very busy, and time is very valuable. And nobody, especially me, wants to sit and watch a progress bar for 20 minutes. So, game designers, don't make us do that. Get us into the game right away. Don't make us watch progress bars. If we can't access a thing or something, that's okay. But let us get going. And don't make us wait. There's no reason for that in the 21st century. So I think with that, I'm gonna wrap up to what we've been playing and move on to game news. And I'm just gonna say right now that the only really gaming news that I really sticks out to me, besides, you know, the incremental updates of all the new games that are coming out, is I don't know. I kind of had mixed feelings with the whole Amazon Prime Day earlier this week. There were some great game deals, but you know, a lot of the things released before I was up. I got up at 5 in the morning that day, and a lot of the stuff was already sold out. And then they released it over the time, over the day, so you had to keep going back. And I'm like, this is too much work to save $10. So do you guys, any of you guys have any kind of feedback on what you thought, all the hype buzz and the reality turned out to be for Amazon Prime Day?
So I, as you're talking about it, all I'm doing is just laughing here because it is, I was excited about it or interested. I was surprised when my son got excited. My wife even knew that it was happening. You know, all the counter programming from Walmart of you know, that they were going to have sales where you didn't have to pay a membership fee to get into. They built it all up, and you know, and so there were some decent TV deals, but in terms of video gaming, it was not great. I wasn't impressed at all. I mean, even some of the good deals like Battlefield Hardline for $25, you know, yeah, that's not so bad. I mean, that's good for Hardline, but you know, some of the system stuff wasn't really that big of a deal. I think in terms of, if you were seeking out, my wife ordered tons of household stuff because there were some really good deals on, you know, groceries and health and beauty stuff and all kinds of other things that she was looking for. So she was super excited about the day, and for me it was such a bust or just a joke in terms of gaming deals. How about you, Prime? You were going to jump in there a little bit. What was your experience with it?
Oh, I was just laughing along with you. Yeah, it was I was like pretty much like that first half of the day I was kind of watching it, and it was just all around, it was just kind of lame. Like you said, it was mostly kind of household stuff, I guess, if you want that, or kind of clothing and jewelry stuff. I saw a lot of watches, stuff like that, but like as far as electronics and stuff, I didn't see anything like super like outrageous or anything. So I don't know. I think it was just all hype, really. I followed them on Facebook, and you know, they're of course saying, you know, they had the best sales ever, you know, this and that, but you know, who knows what the, you know, the sales really were. But I don't know. Just personally, I just kind of thought the same thing. It was pretty disappointing. Zeus, I don't know. Did you follow it at all?
I chose to abstain. I just don't need another big, huge Mongo, all-encompassing super sale day in the calendar year in the United States. Like, there's enough of those, and I'm just in a mode where, I mean, for me, for like technology, right? My devices hit a point where they're due for an upgrade, and when I decide I'm going to upgrade them after that point, I just find the best deal that's available. Like, I just don't, I don't chase sales and buy the thing when it goes on sale. Not to say that's the best thing, but that's just kind of the mode I'm in.
Yeah, so at least I'm not out of the, I'm not left out in the cold here, in my opinion on this. No, it was not as good as Black Friday. All right, so that's my opinion. So moving on with news stories, DB, do you have any up your sleeve here? Any news stories you wanted to talk about from the last week or so?
Yeah, I will. And so this past week I was traveling for work and at a workshop conference and kind of disconnected from the gaming world. And I got my plane landed and I fired back up my phone and I had a text from my son who, you know, when I was, it was after midnight. And so I had to reread it. It was Sunday night, and getting news from your son about the gaming world was, that in and of itself, kind of a unique experience for me. But it was the announcement from Nintendo about Iwata's death, that he had been battling cancer and some colon pieces there, and so that Satoru Iwata, the head of Nintendo, died. And so that you know, we don't really know kind of the businessy gaming news of that in terms of what that'll mean, who will take over. You know, he came in at a time when the GameCube was struggling or failing, and it obviously did, but he kind of ushered in the DS wave and the profitability there, and shepherded through some, you know, revolutionary pieces with both the DS and the Wii. And certainly Nintendo has had some struggles, and, you know, on this very podcast we've talked about what they make and whether or not it's for us anymore, or if they're still relevant in certain ways. But, you know, as a chairman of a company, certainly maybe he dragged his feet in terms of mobile gaming and things like that, but at the same time, it very much kept gaming, had some whimsy in it, had some fun in it, and kept things in an enjoyable and family-friendly way. And so, you know, what they did with the Nintendo Directs, and, you know, kind of bypassing some of the media and coming right to gamers, you know, is not a whole lot different than what some publishers are doing with working with Let's Play videos. So, yeah, I just kind of wanted to acknowledge that fact in terms of, you know, his contributions to the industry and, you know, the involvement there. And it'll be interesting on a news sense in terms of seeing what happens, what goes forward, what that means for as they move into the NX. So, Prime, I know you're another Nintendo user or fan, so do you have any thoughts there?
Yeah, I was pretty shocked when I saw this, although I think you can kind of tell over the last few months, or, you know, even year, that you can kind of tell something was up. I don't think anything was ever really mentioned, because you can tell he lost a good amount of weight. And, you know, he didn't look all that great sometimes when he was doing, you know, some of the interviews and or the Nintendo Directs and stuff like that. Kind of figured, you know, there's something going on with his health. And like I said, I don't think anybody or anything has ever said about it until, you know, when he passed away. And it was just, yeah, I was shocked when I saw that. I think I had just jumped on to, I think Facebook maybe. And I got a bunch of groups that I follow, and I was just kind of, you know, updating those feeds, and I saw that. I was like, wow, really? So of course, you know, internet, I had to, verify with, you know, other sources and stuff. And yeah, you know, it was just kind of a shock, you know. And actually something I didn't even realize, I guess, that he was, he worked on Kirby back in the day. I don't know if he was actually like a creator or just worked on it itself, but I thought that was kind of interesting. I actually learned some stuff when I was, you know, reading through the different articles and stuff like that. And I didn't realize he had been there for so long, and it was just sad to see that. And, you know, my first thought at least was, you know, what's next for Nintendo? Because, you know, they're kind of struggling now. You know, obviously they got money in the bank, you know, but, you know, how they're going to move forward, and, you know, who's going to take over, and, you know, is the NX still going to come out, or, you know, whatever it's going to be called, or, you know, how that's going to kind of go through, work itself out.
So, yeah, he was a programmer at HAL, and so he wasn't, you know, at the Sakurai, I think, the creator of Smash Brothers, is the creator of Kirby as well, but he was a programmer there. He was a programmer on lots of early in the Nintendo stuff. I was just listening and reading about that he kind of reprogrammed some pieces from Dragon Warrior, when it came over, the Dragon Quest game, when it came over to the States with all the Nintendo powers that it was given away free with, but he really cleaned it up there. He was a programmer even up on some of the Pokemon Game Boy games, like Gold and Silver, that his programming there, actually, the way he was able to optimize some stuff allowed them to put in the whole original world back into that game as well. So definitely had kind of the game creation chops in addition to just being businessy. So, yeah, and I think, you know, that he was also one of the first Nintendo chairman that didn't have a family connection. And so that was, last year I read both the Console Wars game and the Super Mario, the History of Nintendo books, and, you know, and it was very much an insular company before then. So, any other thoughts? Otherwise, we can keep moving on, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, it's just so sad. He's so young. 55 is so young. And yeah, just very sad. Very sad. He's going to be missed. If there's one thing that I think everybody would love to see is to find a way to conquer cancer and growths like that. So let's pitch it over to you, Prime. Any news stories you wanted to cover this week?
Yeah, I had one actually just I saw today, and I hadn't read anything about this until today. Actually, I've been kind of out of the loop a little bit with the news, but so this is, and this comes from GamePolitics.com is where I first saw it. Comcast is going to be launching a game streaming service. It's in beta right now, and you have to have the X1, basically the set-top box, their set-top box, which is not the Xbox One, it's just called X1, to be able to stream, stream the games. And interesting thing is they actually partnered with Electronic Arts, EA, to bring this about. And for right now, it looks like they only have like the mobile versions of some games, Plants vs. Zombies, Real Racing 2, and FIFA 13. So like I said, it's in beta right now, so you have to, sign up and through their site, which actually links to in the article. And I don't know, I just thought it was kind of interesting that they're kind of jumping into that game streaming service. And actually, I was reading through on their site, on Comcast site, how it says that this basically the streaming service is treated like any other internet traffic and would count under your internet data plans. So I thought that was kind of weird. I figured that wouldn't count toward that, but I guess, even through their streaming service, they're gonna, count the data toward your data caps if you have any. I have Comcast, but I don't have any data caps right now, at least. I don't know. I guess in some areas people do, which I thought was kind of weird. I don't know why in some areas they have data caps and others they don't. But for right now, I don't have any data caps. So if I was to use this service, it wouldn't really affect me, at least in the, foreseeable future, I guess. But I don't know, what do you guys think of EA Comcast streaming service coming to your house if you guys have Comcast?
Well, it sounds cool. I mean, I can see why EA would want to partner with other providers to offer it, but it almost doesn't sound like it's a streaming service. I mean, there's such low-end games, if they were streaming a Battlefield or that would be impressive. So, if it's Plants vs. Zombies, I don't know. Not definitely not on par with what Sony's doing. But those are my only thoughts.
So let me get this straight. The company that so elegantly pulled off the launch of SimCity with its required internet connectivity is now going to be partnering with Comcast to stream video games to your home.
That is correct.
That's a great way to frame it, Zeus. Yeah, right. Then I think that ties right into Gray's point too. Like streaming something that is eventually the equivalent of something you could play on your mobile platform isn't gonna eat up a whole lot of bandwidth, but it's not really creating a new experience though either. But as a
Well, it
model,
kind of
though, it could be
feels,
interesting.
yeah, to me it feels like those games in the hotel. It's like, yeah, no, I'm not going to pay you $10 to play a game in the hotel TV. So I don't know. It seems gimmicky to me. I don't know.
Yeah,
Yeah.
and the other thing is, yeah, you're using either your smartphone or your tablet to play the game or to control it, I guess. So I don't know. It's kind of weird, I guess, I suppose.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely hilarious. Like when I put it all together, it literally almost fell out of my chair. So Real Racing 2, which is not even the most current version of Real Racing, right? Because Real Racing 3 is out. It is a game that you can play on like your iPad from like 4 years ago. They're requiring you to have their X1 level of cable internet service so that they can stream this antiquated mobile game to your house. It's just, man, that takes the cake.
I think I'm missing something about this whole thing. We'll have to keep an eye on this story because I still remember the time when I heard that somebody said, this company made these little cameras and then I put them in everybody's cell phone. And I was like, yeah, right. Nobody wants a camera in their cell phone. Yeah. So let's keep an eye on this story because it could get more interesting or maybe not. But how about you?
I
Oh, go
want
ahead, DB.
I was just going to jump in. It makes me think, and I think you're right. Like it could be the groundwork for something else. You know, back in the late 2000s, it was the company OnLive, which doesn't exist anymore, but that technology is still out there somewhere. So if some type of provider could figure out a way to harness that, just like Sony did with their, you know, PlayStation Now stuff, where they bought that Japanese company, you know, if there's a way to harness some of that streaming and do it in modern gaming, as you're talking about, Zeus, it could be an interesting model for people who are kind of casual consumers to say, you know, well, it's already being bundled, you know, for the price that people pay for bundles. Who knows?
Yeah, I guess I think Sony actually bought, I don't know if it's just like technology or maybe just the name of OnLive, I believe. So I don't know. Maybe that's going to kind of live on through Sony's, you know, system, and at least as far as our live. But yeah, I just thought that was interesting that Comcast and EA were partnering up with this, which kind of goes along with another announcement, which actually I heard earlier in the week, that they're going to have their own internet streaming service too, which I believe is also in beta, I guess, or only in like limited release cities. So I don't know. I guess they're trying to get into the streaming business now, so there's that.
Well, you know, it's a very defensive play. So you know, cable companies for the longest time have been where you get your entertainment and also where you get your on-demand movies. But now that's changing because we have, you know, internet from our cable company typically, and then we have four or five different boxes connected to that can provide us our on-demand movies. So I can rent a movie on, and I've done this, I'll go on my computer and I'll rent a movie on Amazon, and then I'll go play it on my Xbox or play it somewhere else, and I can finish it anywhere. Unfortunately, there's these dumb restrictions where I actually have to buy it on the computer before I can watch it on my iPad or my Xbox. That's pretty stupid, but whatever. You get a workaround, so you use it, right? So you know, if I'm the cable companies, I'm thinking, you know, we don't have a lock on on-demand movies. We don't have a lock on content, right? Really, all we're getting is the internet connection that we have a lock on, because in most places, there's only one place to get your internet, and that's your cable company these days, right?
Yep,
so,
that's me.
So, you know, yeah, so I could definitely see them wanting to explore into all these new avenues because, you know, they may have an infrastructure and a capability to do something that OnLive and Akamai or whatever the name of the company that Sony bought at first and incorporated into the PlayStation 4, they may be able to do something that that a standalone company couldn't. So I think it could be interesting. We'll see. How about you, Zeus? You got any news stories you wanted to cover?
Yeah, I'll throw two out real quick, actually. So one that I forgot to mention when we were talking about the NVIDIA Shield, I should also mention that a recent software update to it, version 1.3, fixed the problem with recording onboard video and streaming to Twitch. So there was a problem when it launched where it wasn't recording the in-game audio for games when you were recording, and that has been corrected, at least definitely for local recording. I haven't had a chance to... I did a few Twitch streams after the update, but I haven't had a chance to actually log into Twitch on another device to make sure that the audio is coming out. But it definitely does for the local video recording, and it's the same app that does both, so I think that that's corrected. And then the other really quick story I'll throw out is... I don't know how many people are familiar with the Brothers in Arms franchise, but it's definitely one of my favorite. And I've played all three games, not necessarily finished them, but I've dumped a bunch of hours into them. And this is the franchise by Ubisoft, which probably a lot of people don't remember actually launched around the same time as Call of Duty on the PC, and then eventually stepped over to consoles. They were going to be, and it's done by Gearbox Software, so Gearbox was going to be doing a fourth version called Furious 4, which was highly stylized, stepped well away from the standard Brothers in Arms formula, and looked a lot like Team Fortress. They went silent on that project maybe about a year ago, And just today or yesterday, they came out and announced that they have renamed the game Battleborn. And I think it's going to be rolling out primarily as a multiplayer slash co-op focused game, maybe a little less of the single player focus that that the previous franchise has been. Are any of you guys familiar with the franchise, or what do you guys think about that news?
So I have just the opportunity to skim that article a little bit, and so what it sounds like is that some of the character designs and some of the gameplay elements of that the Band of Brothers or the Company of Heroes game, Company of Heroes is, sorry, that's Remedy and that's a strategy game, is wrapped into Battleborn. So Battleborn had a huge floor presence at E3 this year. It's up on pre-orders. It's truthfully probably in one of my lists for this fall if it actually comes out, because it's kind of first-person-y of a MOBA where you've got some 5-on-5 team play elements, but there's also a story mode, and it's, you know, there's stories out there on Game Informer and other places where it's got a real Borderlands feel to it, and so it's something I've been following, and so this was news to me, and it kind of makes sense. I mean, because they have like 25 playable characters, and so it would make sense that they would have pulled other teams in or other character designs that they might have had sitting in a drawer somewhere of like something really cool. And the whole purpose of this Battleborn universe is it's the end of the universe, and stars are collapsing, and so all different races and civilizations from across the galaxy are coming together. So really, any weird, you know, from a mushroom guy to a giant soldier to a, you know, an elf ninja are all acceptable because it's the way they've created this. So this is interesting that it makes, you know, they're bringing in some of this, but the fact that they're kind of talking about where some of this inspiration comes from is kind of neat.
Yeah, I know, I've heard of the game, the Brother in Arms games before, but I never had a chance to play any of these. I haven't really followed Battleborn all that much. But it's just going to be a PC game, isn't it? Or is it going to be on consoles too?
Battleborn is PC and current consoles. So right now at Best Buy or on Amazon, you can, or GameStop, you can pre-order Xbox One, PlayStation 4, or PC versions of it. So, yeah, it's all current-gen consoles.
Okay, I thought I was the only one that did that.
I thought maybe I was getting confused with another game. I think that's only, might be kind of in the vein of that, but it's only PC. I don't know, maybe I was confused. So, like I said, I haven't really played Brothers in Arms all that much, or at all, actually. Maybe like a demo or something, but other than that, that's about it. Greg?
Yeah, I think, basically back when Call of Duty came out, I think I was all Call of Duty'd out, and that's why I never got into that series, even though I have a ton of Ubisoft games. It was just one too many, I think, in that genre.
Yeah, so I'm sorry. So when I say Brothers in Arms came out with Call of Duty, I meant, so this is back when Call of Duty first rolled out on the PC. So Brothers in Arms released pretty soon thereafter, and one of the things about the franchise is it iterated very quickly. So I think I want to say the turnaround was like Brothers in Arms came out like whenever it came out, it came out, and then like 10 months later the sequel was out. So and then it took a little longer for them to get to the third one, but it's a niche franchise. If you saw a demo of it, you might think it's primarily a first-person shooter, but you spend time in first-person mode, but then you spend a lot of time also zooming out to an overhead map and kind of tactically directing your squad where to deploy and where to flank enemies. So it's kind of an intermix between a shooter and strategy game, which is why it only has like a certain following. But the thing that I thought was interesting about the news, and that made me happy, is what I'm hoping happened is that at Gearbox they recognized that this game was moving in a direction that just stepped very far away from what the Brothers in Arms brand was and what it meant to fans, and that they therefore said, hey, let's push this code content over to a game that makes more sense, you know, for it to exist, and let's get back to focusing on kind of a Brothers in Arms sequel that mirrors what that franchise has been. And I think I have seen a headline since this news hit that says that they are also still working on what Randy Pitchford himself is calling an authentic Brothers in Arms sequel. So I think it's good news overall.
Yeah, that is. That does sound good. I mean, it sounds like a very interesting game. I don't know, with Battlefield and Call of Duty, and I think even Medal of Honor was in there. I have them all here on the shelf. Yeah, the original PC versions of all those games, and it was a pretty crowded marketplace back then. But man, that may be something I'll buy if it's on sale at Steam. You know, I can't help myself if something goes on sale on Steam. So now I'll be looking for it. I'll be like, this is cool.
Yeah, Zeus, I remember it. I remember the box art, because it was kind of red, and it had the soldiers on it kind of pointing out, and I'm looking it up online here, and you're right, it did iterate a lot. There were expansions. It came out in 2005, and there were expansions for the next 3-4 years, and then Brothers in Arms 2 came out in 2010, and the last one was a mobile-only game, and so yeah, it would be really neat. I think you're right, it does... Because Gray's right, I mean, there was that kind of World War II kind of fatigue, but it did straddle the line of being action-y but also having some strategy to it. And so maybe, you know, that there's hope for fans of that series, and also hope for fans of what Battleborn's turning out to be as something that can be fun for both people.
You know, it's kind of making me miss the commander mode in Battlefield 2. Which was, I think it was Battlefield 2, where you had the commander mode, and you could have a commander kind of direct the battle, which was really cool when you had a good team. But I digress. So let's wrap up the news and move on to the topic of the week, which is, hey, what are the games you're going to buy this fall? As of right now, it's still summer, it's July. What do you think you're buying this fall? And I'm going to go ahead and start. I'm going to set the stage here and say that, don't throw anything at me. I'm really thinking of boycotting The Taken King. I love Destiny, but I think I've had my fill. And I think I'm going to get back into the racing genre and do some Forza 6. Now, I'm not a big tweaker or a big tuner, but I just love Forza. It's just a fun game. And so Forza 6, I'm definitely doing Halo 5. I'm a diehard Halo 5 guy. And I have to say, almost everybody I know is getting Battlefront. Although I don't think everybody's getting it on the Xbox One, which, if you're not, please change your mind so you can play with me. But that is my must-have list. You know, I'm looking at Blops. I'm looking at the Uncharted Collection. That requires me to get a new console. And I don't think No Man's Sky is coming out this year. So those are my big three: Forza 6, Halo 5, and Battlefront. So DBQ, what are your big games this fall? What are you going to be buying?
So I've been having this kind of internal debate since E3, right? Of what's going to be coming up? What can I buy? What can I buy, and what am I going to have time to play? Are really distinct questions for me. Last fall, when I got the new Xbox One, you know, I picked up Destiny. I had Madden. I ended up kind of starting to plug away and build a backlog, and I ended up spending most of that time playing Destiny. So I'm thinking harder about that this year of what am I actually going to use. And one of the things that's coming down to for me is, what's a multiplayer experience that I want to get in on when it starts to be part of that community, versus something with a really awesome story or an open world that I can come back to in 6 months when it's on sale and still get a very similar experience. So for me, some of the things I'm thinking of is the Battleborn game that we were just talking about. You know, I'm not sure if it's going to come out. It's, you know, this calendar year. They're saying winter of 2015, but it could very much be pushed back into early 2016. They haven't given a date, but it would totally be a game where, you know, I've spent hundreds of hours playing Borderlands with family and friends, and so it's going to be in my wheelhouse there. I've already got a friend from Casual Adult Gamers that we're set up to play Gears of War when it launches in late August. The Destiny, The Taken King, I think I'm going to get, even though, you know, I can hear your burnout, but truthfully, I haven't gone back to Destiny for a little bit now, so I'm ready to kind of get back in and play some more, get that story mode. So,
did you buy it back?
For the third time? No, I did not. No, I have not.
I know you had sold it off.
Yeah, no, I did.
You get
that
super deal, right? You're going to get the super deal. You're going to get everything, including the Taken King, for $60. So now was the time to sell your copy, right?
Yeah, no, I sold my copy for $20. Well, I got GameStop credit for it. Sold it for $20. And the week after I did it, GameStop put new copies of Destiny on sale for $20. So I definitely caught that market at the right time. But yeah, if you're holding on to it, it's going to be the equivalent of you know, 2 years ago sports games from EA, because it's not going to be that worth it anymore, because they're going to bundle it with something else, which again is, Bungie, Activision has got to figure some of that out, because you have people who, you know, like Prime, who raved about that game. Prime, you enjoyed it a little bit, but Gray, you spent a lot of time with it, and now you're kind of burned out on it. And so how are they going to bring you back into the mix without having you pay full price for something? Or, you know, is it really going to be worth it, or are you going to wait for a sale? So maybe the Taken King. I'm certainly going to be getting Mario Maker for the Wii U. It's going to be a fun game to play with my family and kind of see what people are creating and play with that. And then Battlefront. I'm excited for that. I've been excited for Battlefront as well. There's some really great single-player games like Tomb Raider and Fallout 3 that I know I'm going to play at some point, but for now I think they're not making my buy list. How about you, Prime? Where are things falling in your holiday shopping list?
So first up, I'm going to be getting... Actually, I already pre-ordered Black Ops 3. I'm just waiting for the pre-download so I can download it. And then also, I'll be getting Battlefront. Pretty much anything Star Wars I'll usually buy. And just off the videos I've seen of it, it just looks like it's going to be a pretty cool game. Pretty involved, hopefully. And then one of the guys on the Keg site just kind of reminded me of was Just Cause 3, which I don't know if it's a good game and everybody seems to enjoy it, and it usually seems to do pretty well, but I don't know if it's going to be the kind of swallowed up in the whole big, you know, holiday rush because it's supposedly supposed to come out this fall or winter, so... But we'll see. But I definitely want to get that. I played the first two. I beat the first one. And I probably got maybe a third of the way through the second one before my 360 backlog swallowed it whole. So, and then, the last one is going to be Rise of the Tomb Raider, which I really enjoyed the reboot of Tomb Raider. It was, obviously, like I've talked about here, it was, you know, a pretty good game. Ending, obviously, to me at least, was kind of weak. At least gameplay-wise. But I really did enjoy playing through that game, so I definitely want to get Rise of the Tomb Raider. It looks like it's going to be, you know, a really good one that's going to be coming up. So those are my picks. Probably that'll probably be it, like day one, I guess you could say. How about you, Zeus? You got anything planned for this coming up fall, winter?
I'm keeping my eye on a few things. I'll say that my big problem going into the fall is going to be what platforms to get stuff for. Because it's just really hard for me to tell where, you know, people are going to be playing. But then my other problem is I don't really know how much there really is anymore of any concept of a community on either console. So, I did wind up buying two copies of Destiny, you know, one for Xbox One, one for PlayStation 4, and played on both for a while, but the keeping up with the Joneses mechanic of that, where, you know, I would have to play enough to really keep up level-wise with, you know, how much my friends were playing was just a price I couldn't pay. So I'm very sensitive to that event or that chain of events from last year into this year, and so it makes me a little wary about what I really want to buy. But I am very excited by Battlefront. I've never bought a Battlefront game before. Again, I have to figure out where to play, I'm looking at Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six Siege, which, you know, Rainbow Six Vegas 2 is probably the one game on consoles that I probably spent the most time in. And again, I had that on both the 360 and on the PlayStation 3. And I mean, I was still playing Rainbow Six Vegas 2 going into this year. I'm pretty excited about the Need for Speed title, just because I'm, you know, the last Need for Speed Rivals wasn't that great, and it was either a launch window game on the PlayStation 4. I'm hoping that by this time, Criterion has had a little more time to kind of get their hands wrapped around that architecture on each of the two consoles and can really kind of bring everything together for this version. And I too am also keeping my eye out on Just Cause 3. The one additional dynamic that I'm looking out for is, you know, on the Shield Android TV, the NVIDIA Grid service, which is their streaming service, which allows you to stream PC games from the cloud to the console, is going to go into its subscription mode supposedly the end of this month. And I'm hoping that when it does that, more kind of AAA games will be available in their launch windows. So there's the potential that something like Need for Speed or Just Cause 3, I may play those over the NVIDIA Shield rather than go out and buy copies of them for a console or for the PC.
Yeah, I can see where that would make sense, you know. Well, you know, I'm just looking here. If we all get Battlefront, we could do the podcast from Hoth or some other exotic place, a long, long way far away at a place. All right, that didn't work out. Far, far off in a place a long, long time ago. No, that didn't work either.
Close.
But yeah, it's okay. We could actually do the podcast from a world in Star Wars. That would be a lot of fun. But no, that's cool. You know, almost everybody I know has Battlefront on their list. If you look at our lists aren't that similar, except for that. I think that's going to be a huge seller. We'll see if they can keep their network up, their online up, because I think it's an online only game, right, guys? I guess this couch co-op two player split screen, but man, it's going to be highly relying on the internet. So good luck to them.
Sorry, go ahead. Yeah, that's okay. I was just going to say, I think Zeus brings up a good point about, you know, which platform. You know, if you're in a household that has both, how do you split that? Where do you go? And, you know, that idea of a meaningful community anymore, Zeus, I think would be a really interesting topic for another show as we head into the fall, maybe. But, because you're right, you know, the idea of being able to keep up and stay at the same level with somebody is a challenge in a busy life, but, you know, is it enough to pick it up here and there, or is the game structured in such a way that you're even able to do that?
Yeah, but I'm lucky, because DB, both you and Osiris don't have a PS4, I don't think. So you guys are going to get it on your Xbox One, which is good for me. So, sorry, Zeus.
Or they're going to get the PS4 Star Wars Battlefront bundle, and you'll be the only one playing it.
So is this the point when I say the Taken King PS4 design looks pretty nice?
Go for it.
No, actually, I've been seeing some PlayStation 4s pop up on Amazon Warehouse, like used with Prime shipping, for under $300, $280, $260, $240. So, you know, it's one of those where that price is still going to continue to drop, and it'll be interesting to see.
All I have to say is PS4 bundle with Uncharted Collection, and I'm there. That's all I got to say. Go ahead, Prime. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, I thought you were going to get one because of the Uncharted Collection, so I'll be the only one that's stuck on Xbox then.
So Battlefront, Xbox One, decided.
Let me throw out, you know, because we've mentioned a couple things here about developers and things they should be doing and putting into games. You know, I'm going to say, look, if you guys are going to make online-only games and do other things that require online connectivity, then, you know, all in all of these and all these publishers also are creating like their own backbone services. You know, like Ubisoft has theirs, EA has theirs. So all of us now have our Xbox Live account, our PlayStation Network account, an EA Origin account, and Ubisoft, like all this stuff, right? If you guys are going to do that, publishers and devs, then great, Scott, make all that stuff link up. So, you know, I know Bungie is smaller, but they're backed by Activision. Absolutely no reason why you should not have a Destiny account ID that syncs your Destiny play across multiple platforms, and so when I go to whatever console I go to and log in, that should be my Destiny player regardless of what hardware platform I'm playing on.
Yeah, I agree with that wholeheartedly. I don't think we'll ever see the Microsoft Network and the PlayStation Network bridged, even though that would be really cool. I just see there's too many. If I own Microsoft or PlayStation, I wouldn't do that. It's just too many unknowns, too many chances to get a black eye. And I don't think we'll ever see that you get to buy one game and use it on any console, because the console manufacturer gets a piece of that pie. So, but you know, it would be great if you could, you know, instead of $60, you pay $80 and you get a universal copy, or $90. I don't know. But, you know, putting that aside, a universal account, kind of like you have between the 360 and Xbox One with Destiny, which is really cool, by the way, because I can flip back between either console, even though I can't crossplay. It's still one database and one character. So I agree with you, Zeus, to be able to do that, even if you have to buy multiple copies of the game to give the console manufacturer their piece of the pie, I think that would be awesome. Go ahead, DB.
No, I'm thinking of it as a business sense here, and thinking, you know, the example that comes to mind as Zeus is talking about this is what Blizzard does on PC, right? That if you have Diablo in your account and you have World of Warcraft, and so I've been kind of running into this in playing Heroes of the Storm, where at certain levels I keep unlocking stuff for the different games. So now I have a new set of armor in Diablo, or I have a new pet that will follow me along that's tied in for World of Warcraft, which it's a whole other conversation because I've never even really fired it up in all of its 10 years. Or different decks for Hearthstone. You know, that it's tying it in meaningful ways versus, you know, where Battlefield does that, where you can get a patch, you know. But that's not really that meaningful. It doesn't change anything. You know, if you pre-ordered Advanced Warfare last year, you got, from GameStop, you got a shader for Destiny. Why couldn't Activision make something that ties, you know, ties those big communities of Destiny and Call of Duty together to provide some rewards and keep people in an infrastructure?
You know, I could see them doing that. I could definitely do that. I'm just sitting here thinking, man, wouldn't it be cool if I could take my progress in Battlefield 3. I was just looking at this because Bullet jumped on the forums and I made a classic Battlefield 3 signature to match his. And I was thinking, wouldn't it be cool if everything I did on the Xbox, all that experience, was the same when I logged in on the PC copy I bought? So, you know, I definitely have to agree with that. That would be, you know, the single sign-on no matter what platform you're on would be very, very cool. Well, I'm looking at the time, guys. It's getting pretty late. Let's go around the room, see if there's anything else. We're going to go in reverse order here. Zeus, anything else you want to add before we close out the show?
Nope, I don't have anything else.
Prime, you got anything else you want to say before we call it a day?
Nothing. Just follow my Twitch if you ever see me online. Osiris Prime. I follow. I only Twitch on the Xbox One, so usually on the weekends, either Friday or Saturday. So check me out there.
Awesome. DB, last words?
More time, right? We just got done talking about all these great games coming out, or at least interesting games coming out this fall, and whether it's on any one platform or on an Android platform or playing on your shields, there's just more time.
I agree. We need to pay somebody to slow the planet down so we can have longer days, so we have more time off. Because you get home from work and you're just so tired. We need longer days. That's it. Fund it, NASA. Make it happen. But, well, guys, it was great getting back together with everybody again. It's been a while. And I guess that brings us to the end of another Band of Gamers podcast. If you guys out there have any comments or questions or anything you want to say about what we discussed this week, please feel free to share your opinions with us by dropping us an email at podcast@bandofgamers.net. Or you can visit our website. We have 8 of our podcasts already edited and posted up at bandofgamers.net. And you can also find many of us over at casualadultgamers.com. And both sites had updates this week where the banners now go across the whole forum and the menus kind of moved around a little bit. So check it out if you haven't checked it out in a while. And I guess that's it. I'm Greylock3491. On behalf of DBQ Hams, Osiris Prime, and Zeus Adamus, I want to thank you all for listening to this week's show, and until next time, peace.